Hello, happy Monday. Today we are going to get right to our episode. We are talking about people pleasing. And I know we've talked about people pleasing on the podcast before, and you've probably heard about people pleasing in birth kind of in a general way. But I'm going to present this to you in a way that even the most experienced mom, experienced maybe doula or birth educator that is no longer people-pleasing, is not taking crap in the birth space, is actually people-pleasing in this one small way without even realizing it. In fact, most of the time, this one thing is used in a way that moms think is whatever the opposite of people pleasing is. What is the opposite of people pleasing? I don't know. But it actually is a sneaky way of still people pleasing in birth. And so if you want to learn what that is and be shocked, and then also be encouraged to have more autonomy and authority in your birth and be more unapologetic, then you're going to love this episode. So let's get right to it. This is not your average birth podcast because you are not the average mom. Welcome to Unapologetically Unmedicated. I'm your host, Fierce Lizzie, and I am unapologetic when it comes to normal, physiologic, unmedicated birth. I want you to have your best birth because I know that an empowered birth leads to an empowered motherhood. If you want to be the boss of your birth and do birth your way, it's time to get informed, educated, and empowered. All right, before we jump into the sneaky way that people pleasing is showing up in birth or in your birth education, I'm talking to you doulas here because I am guilty of this too, or I was guilty of it, or I still kind of am guilty of it. And before we get to that, I want to read the most recent review of the podcast from Olive 1996. Thank you, Olive, for leaving a 5-star review. If you haven't left a review yet, I love seeing these come up. I love knowing what you love about the podcast, and I just like hearing from you, and I like drowning out those bad reviews who say, she's biased. Like, I know I'm biased, and that's why you're listening, right? So her review says, she says, best birth podcast. Started listening after a fellow crunchy, naturally minded friend recommended it to me. I'm so thankful for all the free information she gives in these episodes. I'm 16 weeks pregnant and will be doing her birth course. Olive, I'll be so excited to see your name come through on enrollment. She also said so much information about your rights as a mom and just evidence-based information. So good. Absolutely. We talk about birthrights. We talk about informed consent. So important because the hospital model isn't giving these things to us. So we have to go do that and fill the gap for ourselves. Speaking of filling the gap, someone asked me recently, I've been listening to your podcast. I've listened to every single episode. What am I going to get inside of your program that I'm not getting already on the podcast? Woo-wee. Okay. The podcast is just the tip of the iceberg. So let me kind of explain my thought process as I think of topics to bring to you. Now, I do bring good information to the podcast, but usually it's not the same information that I have in my program. So I actually have all different information in my program. You're going to be blown away. This is the number one thing I hear feedback from moms is they're like, there's so much information in here. There's so much, like every single intervention, every single alternative, you're learning the risks, the benefits, the pros, the cons, right? So you are actually getting a lot more information than what you're getting on the podcast. Think of the podcast as answering the why. Why do I need birth education? Why do I need to stay home as long as possible? Why are the hospital's interventions ruining my birth? And the program gives you the how. I am very logical, strategically minded, and that's what you're getting in the program. So in the program, I'm telling you exactly what to do to stay home as long as possible, exactly how to know when to go into the hospital. I am telling you how to avoid the unnecessary interventions, how to have the conversations, how to advocate, right? So you're getting the how in the program, and the why is in the podcast. So the podcast does have a lot of great information in it, and it has a lot of empowerment and like motivation, right? Like my goal here is to motivate you to go do your due diligence and take radical responsibility. That is my main goal on the podcast, is that you know all of your options. Now, the details of the options, that's in the program. Or you can DIY it and do it on your own. It's going to take you a lot longer. So that's another benefit of the program, is I've already done all that work for you. And I have it laid out in 1, 2, 3, 4 modules. You just start at module 1. Birth prep and birth education can be very overwhelming when you do it yourself. So I take the overwhelm out completely. You just start at module 1. You actually start at the bonus module that comes before module 1, because that's all about prep and getting physically and mentally ready. And then we go into modules 1, 2, 3, 4. And then there's some bonus modules after that even. So a lot of information, a lot more information. If you like these episodes, you will love being in the program. You're going to learn a lot more in the program. I also cover like birthrights and advocacy a lot more in depth in the program than I do here, and even compared to, I think, other programs. And then the last thing is, of course, you get support from me every single week. So you're learning a lot in the program. You're learning how to apply what you're learning to your specific situation, to your prenatal care. You're practicing advocacy skills, but then you also, every woman in pregnancy is different. You're going to have some sort of situation that you need to talk through that makes your situation a little different than the way that we learned it in the modules, right? So that's where you get just above and beyond with the support inside of the community, is I am there every week answering your questions so that you truly feel supported and you feel confident and you have someone to talk to that's filling the gap, that's not just telling you you're crazy for wanting an unmedicated birth, or, oh yeah, just wait till labor starts and you'll change your mind, right? So you have not just me, but just our community of women as well. All right, let's get to our people-pleasing topic. So this is something that I have noticed about myself that's changed since becoming more confident in my role as a birth educator and more confident in my advocacy skills and just more knowledgeable in about birth and seeing more birth and seeing more home births. It's completely changed this people-pleasing tendency. So even when I first started, I already was saying, don't be a people-pleaser in your birth. Don't be a people-pleaser in your birth, while still doing this one thing that is a sneaky people-pleasing tendency. And actually, let's back up a little bit. In case you are not familiar with the term people-pleasing, let's talk about that. So, I mean, it literally is what it says. People-pleasing. You don't like confrontation. You will make yourself uncomfortable to make someone else feel more comfortable. I think that's like the best way that I can describe it. And I have a really a silly example, but I have done this before, is like, let's say you're sitting in your car and you're at a stoplight or you're in a parking lot or something, and someone starts to like walk by your car and you're like, oh, like, so you go to lock your doors because you're keeping yourself safe, but you're like, oh, I hope they didn't hear me lock the door and think that they're a bad person. Have you ever done that? That is like the most people-y pleasing you can get right there. Keeping yourself safe, but worrying about what the other person thinks that you think of them. Who cares? Like, who cares, right? That is people pleasing. And that comes up a lot in birth. A lot of women are people pleasers. A lot of us are. And providers know that. And they are used to people pleasers coming in and not having confrontation and not saying no and not asking for other things. Like, that's another thing people pleasers will do. Like, A people pleaser will get served something they're like allergic to. And instead of be saying like, oh, I'm allergic to this, actually, I can't eat that, and like taking it back, they'll just like sit there and move it around their plate. Like they don't want to say anything. We do that in our prenatal care. We will be like, okay, yeah, uh-huh. And then go home and be like, oh, I don't really want to do that. But you never, ever said anything in the appointment because you didn't want to have any confrontation. That is people pleasing. And we need to stop doing that, because who cares? Yeah, you have to see that provider. You have to go into that office again. But like, I would rather rock the boat and then not have to deal with it. Let my stance be known. Let everyone know that I know I'm the boss, right? It's just we're not naturally, I'm not anyways. I had to really practice that, and I had to learn my rights in doing so. And I had to learn examples and how to do that, which is why I teach advocacy skills in my program. But even in my program, when I first made my program versus kind of how I am now, I was doing this one sneaky people-pleasing tendency. And that is relying on the evidence. And I did air quotes, evidence. And don't get me wrong, evidence is important, okay? But I used to lean heavily into having an evidence-based birth and advocating for evidence-based practices. Like that was part of what I called my program, right? It's like, oh, you need to learn about evidence-based practices, and don't you want an evidence-based birth? And that's also kind of partially due to the fact that that is like a buzzword in like the birth educator world. It's something that you learn about when you become a birth educator. So part of that was also me regurgitating what I had learned. But now I've changed a lot, and I don't talk about the evidence as much as I used to. I still, you know, my course is still full of evidence, and I still walk you through the evidence because it can be great in helping us make decisions, especially in the medical model. But now I tend to lean more towards being unapologetically for physiology. So now, really, my belief, I will still give you the evidence all day, sister, but my belief is I don't need any freaking evidence. I just need to know that this is physiology. This is how my body was designed to do birth. And so that's what I want. And that's what I'm going to support in my birth. And I don't need evidence to tell me that. I don't need evidence to know that my body does birth better when I'm upright, when I'm not on drugs, right? I don't need evidence to know that my body physiologically can give birth. And what is something that's physiologic? Like breathing. You don't have to think about breathing. Your body just does it. And birth is the same, although you're going to be thinking about your birth a lot because it's a little more laboresome than breathing. But like, you literally don't have to do anything. The problem is the medical model. The problem is these interruptions to physiology that we have completely normalized. And this is why we lean towards the evidence, right? It's like the evidence helps us to speak their language. So for example, there's evidence that supports intermittent fetal monitoring. Okay, so let's use that as an example. Intermittent fetal monitoring. Actually, I'm going to rewind that. Intermittent is the opposite of continuous, right? Intermittent monitoring is the opposite of, it's not the opposite of, but it's the alternative to continuous fetal monitoring. So you're checking the baby every 30 minutes, every hour with the Doppler versus the electronic things on your belly the whole time. Okay. Continuous fetal monitoring, which is the typical hospital routine, is not evidence-based. And you'll hear this all the time. You'll hear childbirth educators say it. Continuous fetal monitoring is not evidence-based. So what does that mean? That means there is research that shows that when we use continuous fetal monitoring, outcomes do not improve for mom and baby. So outcomes are the same, or some outcomes are worse. So that's what it means when we say something is not evidence-based, meaning evidence doesn't show that this practice actually has benefits. Okay, I just wanted to get that out of the way. So when we're birthing in the medical model, it is important to know some evidence, right? Because you're speaking their language and you're going to have these things you're told that you have to do. And it's kind of nice to know that, hey, actually, you're medically minded, right? The research shows that that's not true. But here's the thing is we don't have to do that. If you don't want continuous fetal monitoring, you should be able to just say no. And you can. You can just say no. But they're going to make it seem like you're crazy, like you're asking for something that the hospital can't do. I have had hospital staff tell me, well, then why are you birthing in the hospital if that's what you want? Why don't you just birth at home? And boy, that makes me livid. Because guess what? I wish I was at home. Oh my God, I'm getting so sassy. I'm so sorry. Just kidding, I'm not. I'm unapologetic. I don't apologize for silly things like that. So that is how the evidence and calling, you know, your program or saying like, oh, this is an evidence-based decision that I'm making. Being so involved with the evidence is a sneaky way of people pleasing. Because you're not being unapologetic when you're explaining yourself away. When you're saying, well, I don't want continuous fetal monitoring because it's not evidence-based. Because evidence shows that there's actually an increased risk of cesarean with continuous fetal monitoring. And evidence also shows that with intermittent fetal monitoring, we have the same, similar, or even sometimes better outcomes. So I would really, if it's okay with you, I would prefer to have intermittent fetal monitoring. Like, you don't need to do all that explaining. You just need to say, nope, I don't want continuous fetal monitoring. I want intermittent fetal monitoring. You know what I'm saying? Intermittent fetal monitoring. You don't have to over-explain. Over-explaining is a people-pleasing tendency. Okay? So, yes, the evidence can be a useful tool in making decisions, especially when we're making decisions within this kind of medical model. But if we truly see birth for what it is, we wouldn't really need this evidence. Another thing to kind of interject here is that the evidence is based on the medical model most of the time. So usually evidence is like one medicalized option versus another medicalized option. And they're running these observational studies or these, they're doing this research within the medical system. They're not saying, hey, look, home birth moms are doing this. Let's compare. They don't do that. They don't do that very often. There are some studies based in physiology, but they're few and far between because evidence is funded and run by the medical system. And so even then, the evidence is not always right. We talk about this a lot with the ARRIVE trial, which I keep saying I need to do an episode on, and I will one day. But the ARRIVE trial is one where the evidence in kind of a tricky, not so great, not very strong way shows that the intervention is better than the not intervention. Meanwhile, women all over the world are saying, that's not true. And here's the other thing, and then I'll wrap up this rant, is that you don't have to have an evidence-based birth, girl. Who cares? I don't want an evidence-based birth. I want whatever I want my birth to be because it's my birth and it's my body and it's my baby. And I have autonomy to make those choices, and no one can tell me what to do. So if you don't want an evidence-based birth, you don't have to use the evidence. You don't have to explain what you want. Now, I mean, you might have to. They might make you feel like you have to in the medical system, in the hospital. They're going to be like, well, why would you want that? You're crazy, right? They always tell us. They always say we're crazy. Misinformation, right? So that is it. That is a sneaky people-pleasing tendency, is to use evidence to avoid confrontation, to avoid taking radical responsibility, to use the evidence as a way to make someone else feel more comfortable. and you don't have to do that. If you don't know anything about birth and you want to look into the evidence and be informed, 100%, yes, go sister. We are all about informed consent, but know that the evidence is in the bubble of medicalized birth, and that you don't need evidence to know that physiology always has better outcomes. All right. If you want to learn more, I was going to go off on another tangent. If you want to learn more about physiology, you do want a little overview of the evidence because you are birthing in the medical system. You want to know how to advocate and how to be more unapologetic and know what's not so crazy, even if they say you're crazy for asking this, and you want someone to say, actually, no, that's not true. This, this, and this is normal in our home birth setting. Why are they calling you crazy? No, they are just medically minded and they're manipulating you and they're coercing you. I just had this conversation with an Academy mom last week during our community call. She said, is it normal to have like them coercing and like pushing the interventions on at the end? Yes, it is. They are not needed most of the time. Okay. Our low-risk moms do not need to be induced. Hardly ever. Okay. So if you want someone telling you that, I'll be that someone. And I would love to have you inside of Unmedicated Academy. I will teach you everything that you need to know to support physiology, to have more of that home birth style birth, even in the over-medicalized hospital system, so that you can be in control. And you can know all your options so you can make the best decisions for you and your birth and your baby. If you enjoyed this episode, I know you're going to love my birth program. Unmedicated Academy is a comprehensive birth education that is not only going to have you feeling prepared, educated, and confident for your birth, but you'll also walk away knowing all of your options, all of your birthrights, and have killer advocacy skills so that you hold the power in your birth. The podcast is just a little taste of what you'll get inside the program. Are you ready to go all in? You can learn more about Unmedicated Academy at fiercelizzie.com/academy.